Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Country Bible Church. I hope everyone's going to stay for dinner after church. Our first song this morning is page 246. Page 246, we're going to sing all five verses of Man of Sorrows. 246.
Well, howdy doody.
Y'all are a sight for sore eyes. I thought it was admirable. It's good to be here and see all of you in person. You know, y'all been praying for me, but I've been praying for y'all as well. So, well, this is the portion of our service where we thank God for giving us more than we need, that we can be able to give back to Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who and what You are, and that we are Your children, and You provide everything that we need. And we don't have to earn it or deserve it. It all comes from Your grace. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Before we begin our communion service, I just wanted to say that I have great gratitude for all of you and those who have sent cards and letters and emails and texts and well wishes and phone calls. I greatly appreciate it. It's very encouraging. And while I'm talking about gratitude, I have gratitude for this young man on the second row as well, who filled in for me when I was gone, and he was essentially thrown in the deep end of the pool. And yet, he did a great job. And I just want to let y'all know that I'm glad that he did that job, and I know all of you are appreciative of that as well. Go ahead. So we're having Communion Sunday, and one thing that I want to point out is that the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, or Communion, no matter what you call it, has one singular purpose, and that is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 22:19, Luke said, quoting, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It doesn't have anything to do with covering up sins or being better or any of these things. We are in a memory mode during this so important communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That was Jesus Christ saying that. I would like to share some of my memories of the Lord Jesus Christ over the last few months. That's what I want to do this morning. So, where do I start? June of this year, my mom, such a great mom that she is, was telling me that I need to go to the doctor and get a physical. And I wasn't too keen on it, but she had perseverance. And I know she did because she loves me and I love her. So I went and I had a physical done, and the first thing that they did was check my eyes. Now, I've always had 20/20 vision, and so they checked my right eye, boom, nothing wrong there. And then I covered my right eye and looked up at the chart, and I nearly fainted. I couldn't even see the big numbers. It was just a blur. And I thought, what is this? Is this, what does that show that... What is it?
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Twilight Zone. Thank you. I thought, am I in the Twilight Zone? And the nurse didn't know what to do either, because it's not usual to have a 20/20 on one eye and the other one just turmoil. So I didn't know what to do about that. So I went to a doctor here in Brenham, and he examined me. And as soon as he was through examining me, he came up to me. He said, "I have scheduled a surgery for you tomorrow morning at 8:30 in Houston because you have a detached retina and you need to go." And I said, "Yes, sir." So I remember Scott was taking me to this special place where they do these things. And so I was going through the routine to have surgery. And the doctor came in and said, "We can't do surgery on you." I said, "How come?" He said, "Because there's some kind of mass. There's something behind your eye. And we just can't go in there and try to attach a retina not knowing what that is." And so he said, "I've contacted MD Anderson Hospital. And there's a world-class doctor there that needs to take a look at you." And so the next morning I was in MD Anderson. My daughter came along with me. I don't know what I've done without her. Things have changed. I'm used to having a pencil and a pad and you write down, fill in the forms. They don't have that anymore. It's all done on your phone. Anyway, getting me there and helping me traverse through all this, she was a tremendous help. And then with the tact and bedside manner, which he did not have, he got my attention. And he said, "You have an ocular uveal melanoma cancer in your eye, and it's rare and it's aggressive." That was the first words out of his mouth. Now, as I was going through all the procedures and testing and all, there would be times when one of the nurses would make a comment. I said, what does that mean? Does it mean that's cancer? "Oh, I don't know. You'll have to ask the doctor." So I think she knew, but they weren't going to tell me. And when I look back on it, that's what I want, is somebody just to give it to me. He says, "You have two options. The first option is that we remove your eye. The second option is that we can do a radiation treatment. It consists of two surgeries. He says, you don't have to make a decision now, take your time. And he said, both of these options have the same risk of spreading. And so what he meant was, the worst thing that can happen when you have cancer, as far as I can tell, is for it to get out wherever it is on your body and then go attach itself to other places. And he said, so don't make your decision based on which one has the less risk of spreading, because it's the same. At that point, when I walked out of his office, my head was spinning and I was in a daze. And my daughter and I walked over where the elevators were, and she said, Daddy, are you okay? And I was anything but okay. And some words came to my mind, though. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And that was most beautiful words I think I've ever heard. And the fact that he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, meant that he was with me in that instance, at that time, right then. And that gave me comfort. And I said, yes, son, I am okay. You see, I was applying God's promise to my circumstance. But it was more than just knowing some information that was beneficial to me. It was a powerful experience. And it was real. The cancer was real. The danger was real. But my God was more real than anything to me then. You know, you can study Bible doctrine and you can apply it to your circumstances, and that's what we are told to do. But it's not until you're in a situation where you feel the presence of God and His Word isn't just something you're trying to remember. It's something that is your life vest. It's keeping you afloat. That's how important God's words are. And they are alive and powerful, for they were for me. So I told her, yes, I'm okay. The compassion and love that my daughter showed me that day took our relationship to another level that I've never seen before. Not because just of the things that she did for me, the compassion and the love. But she did research for me. Once I left, she was doing research that I didn't know how to do. I was starting some alternative measures to fight it on my own. And I'm not negating that. That's fine. If you can do it, and do it. And I even called him and said, I'm supposed to have this appointment with you. I'm canceling it. And I want to put this thing off for a month. I was wanting these alternative measures maybe to make a difference. I mean, in a month it might show up. But my daughter did some research, and she took out snapshots of things that were pertinent to this tumor that I had in my eye. And she got my attention. I had no idea that it was could be deadly. And so I called them the next day. I said, forget what I said yesterday. I want to get this as soon as I can get it. When can we have it? And so here we have, not only did he use my mother to keep me from having a ravaging disease, and now my daughter, he also used her for me to see that alternative measures are fine, but they take time, and I didn't have time. And so all these things are memories of how God was watching out for me all the way around. I'm looking at something I had. I guess it's a little bit further down. About 2 days before my surgery, I was feeling low. I didn't know that I was feeling that low. And I got in the truck and I was going to go into town. And a song started playing. And it was, I was listening to K8CB on the radio. And as soon as I got out of my driveway, this song started playing. And I'm going to play it for you here. I had never heard it before. And I am certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that God used this song to encourage me. And when you are that certain and you know that God is right, the presence of you, we can't see Him, but I knew He was there. Let me tell you, the tears were flowing, but it wasn't tears of fear or anger. It was of gratitude. Now let's see if this thing is going to work. Let me get to where I need to be here first. Let's see right here. Okay. I don't know what the sound is going to do. I might have to do something with it. Oop. Oh.
you play that again? And we get to sing with it?
We're gonna do that, but not today. You can imagine I was just mush. I wanted to thank the Lord. I couldn't even talk. It's very real. Exactly what I needed at that time. I'm going to go into the communion now. I have so much more to give you on the track that I have there. And if I have any time after we do the elements, I'll go into it. But if not, I might just save it for next Sunday. Let's see. Oh, I got my notes up there. Let's see. Where is the thing? Here they are. Okay. God's done so much for us through His grace through over the years. But the crowning jewel of what He has done for us was what was done on the cross. And our Lord Jesus Christ stepped out of the glory and splendor of heaven to become a man. He still was God, but He was also a man, and go to the horrors of a cross for us. What love is that? We have two elements that we partake this morning, and they are the bread and the cup. The bread is unleavened because it speaks of Jesus Christ's perfect, sinless body. Leaven in the Bible speaks of sin. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ would have been disqualified to pay for our sins on the cross if He sinned in any way. So, the unleavened bread you find throughout the Bible. In John chapter 6, verse 47 through 51 says the following. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The cup represents the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross. For all eternity, we'll be praising Him and thanking Him for what He did there. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him. This was John the Baptist. And he saw Christ coming, and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All the animal sacrifices would put a hold on God's wrath until the true shepherd would come. And in this case, he was the Lamb. The Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. Anyone can eat, and anyone can drink. They can eat of the bread and they can drink from the cup. And it is a public declaration that you have put your entire soul on the line. The eternal destiny is at stake. And when you observe this communion and take these elements publicly, that's what you're stating. That you're depending on the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternity. You don't have to be a member of this church in order to do this. But you do have to be a believer, and a believer that is in fellowship with God. So we're going to take a few moments to have silent prayer. And during that time, you can clear the decks of any unconfessed sins. Let us pray. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come together as a church body and focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that you will help us to focus completely. For we pray this in His name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripe, we are healed. The night before our Lord was to be crucified, He was in the upper room. He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, and said, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, Heavenly Father, we focus our attention now upon the cup. It staggers the imagination to know how much love the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through that horror. We pray that you will help us to have true appreciation and bring into our memories how important it is and how wonderful He is. And we pray this in His name. Amen. It is our custom to hold on to this your cup until all have been served. Thank you. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, put him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. On that same occasion, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." We will stand and sing hymn number 258. Softly on the third verse, a crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand as we sing. Be strong and take courage. Do not be dismayed. Be strong is found 31 times in the New American Standard Version. It is in the imperative mood. God is commanding us to be strong and to take courage. But it doesn't mean to be strong by our own strength. It means to be strong in His strength. If you think that you are strong, I don't know how to help you. The Lord will have to take that up with you. I know when I was a teenager, I thought I was invincible. I thought I was Mighty Man, a Mighty Mouse, and the Long Ranger, and Superman all in one package. But of course, that fades once you start getting a true picture of the world. But this is so important for us to understand. God is commanding us to be strong, but not in our own strength. We don't have any strength. He's talking about using his strength. Let's see, where's my... I have not been afraid since this whole ordeal. I didn't plan on putting it up here, but there it is. I have not been afraid since this whole ordeal began, but it is certainly not because I am strong. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have access to His power. And when believers have His power, they're not afraid of anything. That is what is at stake when you go to the Lord and you're trusting in Him with your problems and issues. You have no strength. And yet He commands us to be strong using His strength. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." So we're not left hanging. We know that it's His might. It is His power. Let me tell you, when you feel His power, when you know it's His power, you're not focusing on the problem. You're praising Him. For He is for me, not against me. These are just things that I was thinking about, why I can trust Him and have access to His power. He's for me. He's not against me. I'm His child. He loves me. So this will end with blessings for me and great glory for Him. It is impossible for the Lord to let us down when we trust Him with our lives, when we cast our burdens upon Him. And that's what we're doing. Because we all have burdens. We all have problems. What are you going to do with them? Well, you're going to try complaining? How's that work for you? You're going to go tell other people about your problems? Forget it. They don't care about your problems. They have their own problems. And yet we have a God that is ready and willing and asks us, put your burden on me. I'll take care of it. You can have a guarantee that He's not going to let you down. And yet, we're still in that crazy mode of, well, I think I can fix it. I've got this. You've got nothing. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." In other words, when you put your trust in Him and you're relying on Him, you're not going to be shaken. You're going to be thanking. There's a difference between thanking and trying to get to it by yourself. So, He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. It's impossible for Him not to take care of your problems. Psalm 72:14. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. Now, did you notice there's no time element here? It doesn't say, okay, wait for a couple hours. See what He's going to do. Wait for a week, a month, a year. That's not the way God operates. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Your heart may be taking courage, but the old sin nature is trying to get you to start complaining and belly aching and all that. Wait for the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord are spiritually strong. Those who do not wait are spiritually weak. Do you want to live in Satan's domain being spiritually weak? You have a choice. You can make a choice that you're going to wait for the Lord. And you'll have spiritual strength. Exodus 14, verses 13 through 14. Exodus 14, verses 13 through 14. "And Moses said to the people, Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. So, of course, this is when they are at the Red Sea. They were looking at Pharaoh's army closing in, and they looked this way. It was the Red Sea. They looked on each side, and there were big old rocky mountains there. In that kind of situation, I think I would be a little prone to not want to stand still. I want to get out of Dodge. I want to do something. But what Moses said to them is so important. Don't be afraid and stand firm. Stand firm on trusting the Lord. How long? However long it takes, and praise Him all the time for what He's doing. Yeah, but I don't see anything happening. So what? Why do you think you've seen anything happening? And you can say, well, Lord, I want you to know how you're going to work this out. You can give me a memo on this. That's not the way it operates. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. What I liked about that song, so much that I like that about that song, but He says, the one who lives within you will be strong in you today. What about tomorrow? Well, no, we're not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. What we're interested in is the right now. We can have the Lord be strong in us. Not ourselves, be strong in us. When? Today. And when do you need the help? Today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Well, what can I do? Keep your mouth shut. Unless you're praying to the Lord. The only thing the people needed to do was, number one, don't be afraid. You notice you have a choice there. And stand firm. Don't be wishy-washy. And three, be silent. Keep your mouth shut. Don't be afraid. What do you think God thinks when you have turned your problem over to Him? You have cast your burden upon the Lord, which is what He wants us to do. And then there's a period of time, it could be short, it could be long, whatever, that you start getting wobbly and you start being afraid and you don't want to stand firm and you're doing anything but being silent. You'll tell anybody that will listen to you about your woes and all the problems. You're no longer trusting the Lord. Do you know how important it is to trust the Lord? If you don't trust the Lord, you're going to trust in someone, something, or something else. And you have doomed yourself to a horrific life unless you humble yourself. And you tell the Lord that, I'm in it for the long haul. And I'm going to praise You every step of the way. Because You are for me. You're not against me. I am Your child and You love me with a love that I can't even recognize. Why would it be so stupid as to think You're not going to come through? 1 Chronicles 22, verse 13. 1 Chronicles 22, 13. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I heard that somewhere. But what does dismayed mean? Dismayed means to be discouraged. When I heard that song, I was discouraged. I didn't even know that I was that discouraged until God played that song for me and encouraged me with it. Then I saw how down I was. And after I heard that song, it's just nothing but praise. Afraid or full of dread. Do you know how many people? There are millions of Christians sitting in pews and seats in churches today. And they want to be close to God, but they don't want to trust Him. Why? Well, He might not come through. That's what's in there. I think I'll try it for a while. All of these horrible things are nonsense. And they dread the future. Listen, when you start putting your burden on the Lord, you give Him the problem. It's His problem then, not yours. And the only reason I wasn't afraid, and still not afraid at this point, is because I'm looking at the solution, the Lord. And when you do that, fear has no power over you whatsoever. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Is God a liar? Is this pretend? Is this just something made up? I think we are headed for very serious and perilous times. And if we're not serious about getting right with God and trusting Him, obeying Him, and neutralize fear by your trust in God, you can take this to the bank. God is the one who goes with you. Boy, I don't know what I would have done if when I was standing in front of those elevators, and I would like to tell you when I got that news, oh, I put the burden on the Lord, and I didn't. No, I didn't. I was shocked. I was in a state of shock. I was walking out the door over to the elevators, and I didn't even know where I was walking. I couldn't even think. Now, it was fear involved in that? No doubt. But it was the words. The words came into my mind. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I thought, that means even right now. But you have to trust Him. You can't just do it the same old mediocre way. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. How many times do we have to hear that? And not a one person in this building, nor not one person that breathes, can be strong on their own. We come with a default old sin nature. And we are inclined to not be humble and think that we can solve our own problems. So have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Y'all believe that? Huh?
Yes.
There you go. Now, some people don't want the Lord to follow them around because they want to be naughty. And the Lord will take care of them. But we're talking about when you need Him, He is there. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. Be strong. And let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in His sight. I love this verse, especially because of the last part. Our job is to be courageous for the sake of the people, the cities, and God. And let the Lord do what is good in His sight. Let the Lord do whatever He's going to do. That's not your issue. Your issue is to be strong in His might. I'm looking at the clock and it's not good news. Well, for some of you it might be. I don't know. But I think I'm going to throw the anchor out here. And let's see how to get rid of this. Oh. Okay. As I was putting this together, more than one time I thought, well, I just need to scrap this because the last thing I want this to be about is me. But I had to have me involved in it to show you how God was involved in it. And it's the same way with you. When we're talking about you, you can't have it with you without God in it. Because God is in you. He's in me. But I decided I wanted to highlight the praise that he deserves for what he's done for me. So many, I haven't even scratched the surface of the great things that he has done for me that opened my eyes. My relationship with my God and my relationship with my daughter are on a level they have never been before. And when I'll tell you this, when they were rolling me down on my second surgery, and they were rolling me to the operating room, I was laying down, I just saw the ceiling tiles, and I was, be strong and take courage. I wasn't singing it, but I was thinking it. And it's a wonderful place to be. And God will take you there, and He won't leave you there, but He'll bring you through it if you just trust Him to do it. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We all need to be thankful for You, that You live in believers, that You are our God and we are Your children. And it seems like the routine of every day comes about, and it's one after another, and we can kind of get grounded down to a fine powder because there's so many things to tend to, so many things that we have to deal with, and before we know it, we're not even thinking about You. We have other issues. Our prayer is for You to help us to always have You number one. And we think about You. We thank You. We go to You with our problems. We want to be spiritually strong. And when we give You our problem, it's there. We're not going to try to get it back because we don't trust You. Help us to have such a powerful life through You that we can't keep our mouths shut when we're around others. We have to tell them about how great You are and let them see what they're missing. We pray this in Jesus' most high and holy name. Amen. By the way, I think that's going to be ready. Does anybody know? Matthew, can you get a time frame on when they're going to be ready? We sure hope y'all stay because it's good to see you. I missed you, and I just like to see you visit with you. So.